T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Baseball is back, and so is MLB.tv. Watch every out-of-market, regular season game on your favorite streaming devices. Anywhere, anytime, all season long. Follow the action live or on demand. Track 4 games at once with multi-view mode. And catch up with in-game highlights. Plus, original programs, minor league broadcasts, and local pre- and post-game shows. Go to MLB.tv to start your free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Welcome back, Sports Radio 94 WIP. Joe Giglio with you. Tucker Bagley's behind the glass. You guys with us, 215-592-9494. That's how you get aboard here on this Monday night. Talking about Eagles training camp, open practice last night. 30,000 in attendance to watch the Eagles. Only open practice this summer. I was there with my wife and my kids, and it was fun. It was fun watching practice. Good atmosphere, a lot of people. And I liked what I saw. Specifically, A.J. Brown just stands out. Well, you know, it's the first time I've ever seen him in person. You know, watched him on TV since he became a Titan a few years ago. He just stands out. I mean, he's a different kind of athlete. I thought Jalen Hurts looked good last night. I liked to throw up the sideline to Brown for the touchdown. And obviously, Jalen Hurts' running ability last night was on full display. And then Britton Covey is a guy that stood out to me just off one practice. Like, that might be something there to a bottom-of-the-roster wide receiver who may have a chance to make this team. Let's talk about all that and training camp thus far. Bo Wolf of The Athletic joining us here. What's up, Bo? How are you doing tonight?
I'm doing well. How are you, Joe?
Good, Bo. We're making our way through training camp here before the first preseason game on Friday. Bo, what'd you take away from last night? I was just saying it was my first time watching A.J. Brown in person. You know, seen him on TV the last few years with the Titans. You've seen a lot of him, obviously, the last few weeks. He just stood out to me. It's like, wow, I didn't even realize he was that big and that good of an athlete, you know, from a distance. He was pretty remarkable.
Yeah, and it's sort of been that way throughout camp. You know, it seems like whenever Jalen Hurts wants to throw the ball to A.J. Brown and complete a pass, he can. It's very rare that he targets A.J. Brown and it doesn't lead to a completion at this point. And I think especially like in the time since Devontae Smith went down with that minor injury, I feel like Jalen Hurts has probably completed more passes to A.J. Brown than like everyone else combined, especially if you like discount screens. And I think there's no doubt that he's going to be the focal point of the offense. I feel like it's hard to read anything else into that. He's been that good. He's been as promised so far. And I think, you know, it's always a question of, like, with veterans, how much does training camp matter? And I tend to think that for guys at that level, like, really all that matters is making it through healthy. But for a player who has had some injury issues in the past, I think it's been positive to see that he's not only been productive, but has been out there every day.
Bo, I noticed a couple times last night, Jalen Hurts targeted not just Brown, but also Goddard in the middle of the field, more of the seams or just over the middle. And that's obviously the one area last year where the Eagles did not throw the football much. I mean, Jalen Hurts would go deep from time to time. He would roll to his right, throw to his right. But you look at those charts over the middle, it didn't exist for this offense. I saw it a little bit last night. Has that been a point of emphasis? Have you noticed more of that in training camp this year than compared to last year?
No doubt. And I asked Nick Sirianni about that last night before the practice. And he said a similar thing to what he said about, you know, them being towards the bottom of the league in pre-snap motion last year, which is that, you know, at the end of the season, he went through all the numbers. And anytime you're towards the bottom of the league at something, you want to make sure that you improve on that. And, you know, he's aware that Jalen Hurts didn't throw the ball over the middle of the field a ton last year. I think there are probably some schematic reasons behind that. And I think there are probably some things that are maybe more to do with what Jalen Hurts likes to do. But throughout the summer, Jalen Hurts has had no problem throwing to A.J. Brown over the middle of the field. And to that extent, I don't know if this was, you know, planned beyond just like, let's get A.J. Brown in here. He's awesome and he's going to help our offense. But the actual mix of these two guys, it seems like, you know, because A.J. Brown is so dominant in the middle of the field, and that's where he does so much of his work, that almost by accident, or maybe it is by design, he, like, alone is going to improve Jalen Hurts' willingness and ability to throw over the middle of the field.
Bo, first-round pick, Jordan Davis. I mean, he stands out anytime someone takes a video of him or you see him or you hear about him. But what have you noticed day-to-day? Because the more I've read and the more I've read practice reports, including from yours, it seems to me like it's hard to believe he's not going to have a big role from the jump. Whatever that snap count is that he can give them, I don't know, 25, 30 snaps, whatever he's going to give, it feels like he probably can start doing it week one. Would you agree with that as we get closer to the season?
I do. I think he's going to have a role right away, no doubt. You know, they are very deep there. They've got Fletcher Cox and Jalen Hargrave and Milton Williams, and even, if you want to dig deeper, Marlon Tuipulotu, who's had a very good summer himself. And there's no doubt that they're going to have different fronts. They're going to be playing, you know, traditional 4-3 looks with two defensive tackles in the middle, and they're going to have some 3-4 looks where sometimes it's three defensive tackles on the line, sometimes it's two guys and maybe Brandon Graham in that 3-4 defensive end technique. But, you know, Jordan Davis is going to be on the field for sure. And I think it would be a surprise if he's not playing what you said, sort of 20 to 30 snaps. I think he's going to be, like, able to contribute as a run defender right away from week one. The pass rush stuff, you know, there have been some really impressive one-on-one reps for sure. That one that went viral last night, I know people have seen. I think it's been a little bit up and down in team drills. He's talked about this is a new technique for him. At Georgia, he was more read and react as opposed to get right upfield, and so that's taking a little bit of time for him. But, I mean, there are these things that we describe about Jordan Davis, like the way that he goes about his business. Jason Kelsey has talked about he's got the bug eyes that you want to see. Like during walkthroughs, it seems like he's paying attention. He's this happy-go-lucky guy. You want to sort of describe him other than the fact that he's this huge, fast dude, and there aren't a ton of guys in the world who are his size and his speed. But that is sort of the bottom line. Like, you're putting this guy in the defense who totally different shape and like source of power than anyone else they have, and they're not going to keep him on the sideline for too long.
We're talking to Bo Wolf for The Athletic here. Eagles opened practice last night, and they get ready for their first preseason game Friday against the Jets. Bo, what have you observed anecdotally and then kind of like looking at your notes compared to the past or just how you remember it? You know, a lot has been made of the shorter practices this summer. Now, last night, a little elongated because they had a crowd and they wanted to play to it, but most of these practices have not been as long as they were last night. We're talking about an hour. I know the one time it was less. Have you felt, watching them, covering them, that they're too short, that it feels like how could they get enough in? Or do you think it's been a little overblown how long they're actually on the practice field most days?
Yeah, I think the actual practices, I think complaints about that have been overblown. You know, the first couple practices of the summer were pretty short and noticeably short, but that's also part of the like ramp up period for the guys. They didn't have pads on. I think, you know, that was, that's where sort of that noise came from. I think the practices themselves have been fine. The big difference from last year is they have more of these walkthroughs, which means that there are not quite as many practices as there were last season. And Sirianni explained that, you know, they looked at the data and they understand that when you go 3 days in a row, the risk of soft tissue injury shoots up a little bit. So they've eliminated those. They've turned those into walkthroughs. And, you know, they've codified how he describes it as red days, green days, yellow days. You know, green days are when they can go full bore. I think the practices themselves have been fine. It's the balance between how much do you care about making sure that your starters are healthy and as healthy as they can be, ready for week one, and keeping them fresh over the course of the season, versus how much do you care about, you know, getting enough snaps to really evaluate the bottom of the roster and making sure that you get numbers, you know, 49 through 53 on the roster correct. And I think, you know, as much as I would like to see longer practices and, you know, more physical practices and stuff like that, I think I understand and probably agree with the decision to wait things toward the starters. I mean, that's what really matters. Keep those guys healthy And I think the league is trending in that direction.
Well, you mentioned roster spots 49 to 53. Give us a couple names maybe of players that have stood out to you that are, you know, in that range of they're trying to make the team. I mean, a lot of this team is established. They're veterans or they're young players we know are going to be here. And there's, yeah, I'm not sure how many spots are actually up for grabs, but, you know, there's a couple here and there that maybe a surprise could sneak on. Give us a couple names that maybe have stood out to you that maybe we don't even, they're not talking about yet, and we will be after these preseason games or, who knows, maybe week one or so.
Well, I mentioned Tui Pelotu earlier, the sixth-round pick from last year, and he's had a really good summer, I would say. He was pretty invisible as a rookie last year, but he was a little bit younger, and he was coming off a back injury in college. I think he's made a bit of a jump to the point where I think he might get on the field week one. And then the rest of the guys, like, it does sort of feel like the roster is close to, like, set for 53 minus injuries, but there are some undrafted guys and lower level guys I'm looking forward to seeing in the preseason games. You know, the cornerback group is really interesting to me. They've got like six or seven guys fighting for two or three spots. Josh Jobe, the undrafted corner from Alabama, has come on of late. I think Kerry Vincent maybe looks the part the most of the three guys they added last year between him, Tay Gowan, and Mack McCain. Josiah Scott is an interesting player because he's their second team nickel, but he's been taking safety reps the past few days. I think they're trying to see what they have there. I think part of that is they don't have a ton of faith maybe in either Kayvon Wallace or Jaquaski Tart as the third or fourth safety. So that's something that they're taking a look at. I think Teron Jackson, another sixth round pick, has looked better this summer than he did last summer. And then on offense, I heard you mention Britton Covey earlier. He's been okay. I'm not all the way caught up in the Britton Covey hype like some people are. You know, he looks good. He looks as expected. You know, he's an older player, and if he can help out in the return game, that's something they definitely need. And I think that's his real shot, is if he can impress in the preseason games as a returner. But as a wide receiver, I think, you know, I'm not so sure that you can't just slide him through to the practice squad and elevate him on game day if need be.
Do you expect any surprises with the roster? I mean, Rager's name comes up a lot. I don't think they're going to cut Jalen Reagor. I suppose he's someone that maybe they could trade. I mean, there was rumors of that around the draft. I don't think he really has a spot here besides being the fifth receiver on the depth chart. Do you think there's anything that could kind of surprise us between now and the start of the season?
I think that first to Reagor, you know, I think they would like to trade him if they could. That saves them a ton of money. But I also think that Jalen Reagor, you know, we're talking about Jalen Reagor the commodity, but Jalen Reagor the player has had a very good summer. I think this has been his most consistent camp to date for sure. He's not just made a few splashy plays, but he's made some consistent plays as well. And I mean, you're right that he right now would be the number five receiver, and he doesn't strike me as the kind of guy who's going to, you know, chip in on special teams other than being a returner and, like, do the dirty work necessarily. So is that what you want from your number five receiver? I'm not so sure. But there is, like, more upside to him if, you know, somebody goes down to actually contribute in the offense than there would be from somebody else. So I don't expect them to cut Reagor, but I do think if a team like, you know, the Bears, who are receiver desperate at this point, come calling and are willing to offer a late-round pick, I think the Eagles would probably take that. In terms of other surprises roster-wise, I think it's possible Jaquaski Tart doesn't make the team. I think that would be a bit of a surprise, considering that he signed for a little bit over $1 million. I think the number three quarterback competition has been a little bit surprising to people because the Eagles gave Carson Strong so much guaranteed money. He has not been very good. And Reed Sinnett, who they acquired by clamming off waivers from the Dolphins last year, has actually looked pretty good and even got a couple reps with the twos last night, which I thought was interesting. So those are the things. And maybe if you really want to read into the Sinnett thing, maybe you think that if the Eagles get a call from somebody wanting Gardner Minshew, you know, Sinnett's summer performance would make them more willing to listen to that. I'm not so sure they would do that, but that's a potentially interesting possibility.
Bo, last one for you. First preseason game on Friday night. Do we know how Sirianni's going to play this? I mean, last year we did see Jalen Hurts and the first-team offense out there for, I believe, one drive, and then that was it. We didn't really see Hurts again the rest of the preseason because he had the food poisoning the next week. Do we know if we're on a similar track or maybe not this year?
So Sirianni said last night that he hasn't decided yet. He liked what they did last year. He thought it worked well. And I think he said it was two series last year. My concern about that would be, you know, right now they don't have Jordan Mailata. They don't have Andre Dillard. They're down to their fourth string left tackle. And I don't think they're going to put Jalen Hurts on the field behind a fourth string left tackle. So unless those guys come back soon, my guess would be we don't see Jalen Hurts on Friday night. But I think that Sirianni probably would like to see Hurts play like one series at some point over the course of the preseason. But I don't think it's worth risking putting him behind a makeshift offensive line.
Yeah, that makes sense to me, Bo. I always appreciate you hopping on. We'll be reading at The Athletic and listening to Birds with Friends. Thank you, Bo.
Thanks, Joe.
There he goes. Bo Wolf of The Athletic, covering training camp. So interesting. He said that has been the best camp Rager's had so far. I guess it's probably a low bar to clear. He's not quite in on all the Britton Covey hype yet that I'm spewing on the radio tonight after the one practice I did get to see last night in person. How about his surprise, though? A couple interesting thoughts on potential surprises there from Bo Wolf. Jaquiski Tartt maybe not making the team. He was out last time with a personal issue. He wasn't there. I didn't see him there last night. I just saw out personal. And the other one was he threw out, I mean, I did notice last night Reed Sinnott was mixing in with the twos. As someone who's been on the a pro Gardner Minshew guy, are you a little worried about this? I mean, last night might have just been a reps thing. I don't know if it meant anything, but
I don't think it's the first time it's happened, though, because I think it happened on Friday as well.
What's going on over here?
We've heard from a lot of people that Gardner Minshew hasn't been playing well. And,
right.
You know, I was a pro Gardner Minshew guy for a long time. I was a big part of the Minshew Maniacs last season.
You were a maniac.
But the whole living in a van the whole summer thing, like, just blows my mind. And it worries me that he's just in this for the money. I mean, how many other backup quarterbacks are getting feature stories on ESPN.com? Probably none, because they all have decent shelter and live in a place with running water. I just that really irked me. That turned me the wrong way.
Yeah, I'm
worried
tell.
About Gardner Minshew, because between you and me, I think having decent shelter is a big part of being an NFL quarterback.
Yeah, while I'm all about getting the value for a backup, I don't think he's going to be here long term. And I'm not a maniac like the Minshew maniacs. I would pause unless they're getting a significant pickback, like of just giving him away this summer. Because I don't know what's going on at training camp. I don't know why Gardner Minshew didn't use running water all offseason. But like, if Hurts goes down for 3 weeks, can they survive with Reed Sinnott? I'm not sure.
Yeah, I mean, he does give you a steadier hand. And we've seen him play last year when he was with Jacksonville. Like, I don't want to say he's a league average quarterback, but as far as backups go, he's definitely in the upper tier.
Of course.
In the upper echelon. So I would be shocked if they move on from him unless they were really, really in to Reed Sinnott, but you mentioned it. I mean, Jalen Hurts missed two games last year without really taking any big hits. And you look at his career and kind of the outlook of quarterbacks like him, he could just miss 3 weeks, right? He could just get banged up. He ran the ball 10 times per game last season, which is a lot. It doesn't sound like a lot, but for a quarterback, it's a ton. Michael Vick never ran more than 8 times a game in a season in his career.
It's a lot.
Jalen Hurts, top 10. So,
and through the tackles sometimes.
He was a physical runner. He wasn't sliding, you know, in the open field after a 2-yard gain. He was running between the tackles. He was picking up yards. He was fighting off linebackers. I do worry, and I'm not trying to say he's not durable, but anybody playing the quarterback position, playing that kind of physical style, I do worry about their health long term, and I do worry about his ability to stay on the field for every snap this year.
I did notice last night, and again, he's wearing the red jersey. He's not getting touched last night. He slid twice after rounding the corner last night. I wonder if it's a point of emphasis for him this year just to avoid any hit he can avoid. Because I thought it was interesting. Like, why was he sliding? Like, no one's going to touch him. Like, he slid twice after rounding the corner. One was a pretty big gain. One was like, I don't know, 2 or 3 yards just to get away from the pass rush. But then he slid. He could have went out of bounds. He could have just stopped. They would have blew the whistle. No one's going to touch him. So I wonder if it was a point of emphasis for him last night. 215-592-9494. That's how you hop in. All right, coming up, 9 o'clock. We'll get back to everyone's phone calls, 9 o'clock hour. And I want to hit on an NFL change that could be coming that will impact the Eagles and every team on both sides of the football. So we'll get to all that, but we're going to talk to Scott Lauber coming up on the Inquirer on this Phillies team, the actual team, what he thought about the debacle this weekend with Pete Rose. Obviously, you know, our guest's colleague was the one that asked the original question, and then the team as well. The way they're playing, does he expect them to make the playoffs, and everything about a red-hot Phillies team. That's coming up next. Scott Lauber joins the show on Sports Radio 94 WIP.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Now, with the MLB app, you can get baseball your way. Pick your favorite team, your favorite players, and get customized highlights, stories, and breaking news right on your home feed. Follow the action with Game Tip, where 3D replays add another dimension. Plus, notifications can keep you connected to every pitch, every hit, every game. The MLB app. Baseball, your way. Download it now for free from the App Store or Google Play. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.